I'm Dale Behan, President and Chief Executive Officer of the Western Company of Texas. You're in the oil and gas business. You know how important it is to transfer water efficiently and timely to your completion job. That's where the Western Company of Texas can step in and be your partner. We've earned the reputation here in the Barnett Shale as a premier water transfer company because of our dedication to quality and service. We have the largest inventory of irrigation pipe and transfer pumps available to fit any and all of your water transfer needs. Plus, we can work with your team to secure water as well as rights of way. And finally, I can promise you that we will always be ready to go 24/7. So give us a call at 940-648-3434. That's 940-648-3434. We have locations in Cleveland, Fort Worth, Ponder, Hyco, and Weatherford. Give our dedicated water transfer team a call at 940-648-3434. The Western Company of Texas, the guys with the green pumps.
It's the show you don't want to miss. The Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell. Stay tuned as Elissa goes up close and personal with some of the biggest names in the world of sports. From Dallas Cowboys Hall of Fame quarterback Roger Staubach to legendary broadcaster Pat Summerall. Think big. Think big. It's all happening right here on the Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, we want to welcome you back this weekend to the Big E Sports Show. Before we get underway, we want to encourage you to go to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. And I tell you what, I'm in a very good mood because it has been a very big week of golf right here in Fort Worth as the Fort Worth Junior Golf for Boys and Girls Tournament was underway. And truly, I have to say, you got a sneak peek. If you were here at some of the future stars and truly some of the best talent, young talent, right here in the state of Texas, taking in all the action. And I was so fortunate to run into him at this year's event was Kevin Long. He's the executive director of the First Tee of Fort Worth. And Kevin, it's great to have you back on the show. It's been a couple of years, but just your thoughts and impressions on just the terrific competition that we saw this week with the boys and the girls.
Well, thanks, Alyssa. It's great to be back on the show too. It's great to bump into you. And you saw firsthand, I know with your son participating, but this is a tournament that has been around on the boys' side. This is the 74th year this tournament has been played, and it's always been completely free to the kids. This year, I think almost 500 boys participated in the event at several different locations. And some of the really big names in golf here locally have competed over the years. And, you know, it's not just the municipal courses that are involved. It's every single one of the private clubs, including the Amira Vista Colonial, Shady Oaks, Rivercrest, Diamond Oaks, Woodhaven, and so forth. So, you know, the whole community is involved in this. And last week, the girls' tournament was contested, and it's been around about now over 30-some years, and it has the same kind of following. So a lot of kids getting out to play, and the only qualification to play, which is really cool in my mind, is that you have to show up and sign up and show up and be ready to play. So it's a really neat event and a great tradition, and you know, it's an honor for us and for me personally to be involved with it, for sure.
You bring up a great point, Kevin, talking about how many years this tournament's been around. As I understand, it's all the way back to 1936, and you know, you have to really thank the efforts of the late businessman Marvin Leonard, who really helped get this tournament underway, and it really is geared so that all financial backgrounds of these youngsters, that they can afford to play. And of course, Marvin Leonard, we remember him. He started, you know, Shady Oaks Country Club and the Colonial Country Club.
Absolutely. I mean, the Leonard family legacy, which is nowadays is also carried on, you know, by his daughter, Marty Leonard, who has been a big part of why this tournament happens. You know, and I think that's what the neat thing about it is, the nature of this event. And it's been going on for 74 years on the boys' side, and I believe this year was the 36th playing of the girls' championship. You know, it wouldn't happen without leaders of the community who believed in the value of golf and reaching out to all areas of the community, and certainly, obviously, that's something the First Tee we're part of, and it has been part of this tournament's fabric, you know, ever since the beginning. But, to be part of a tournament where the kids, you know, get to play the final rounds at Colonial and Shady Oaks and some of the other clubs I mentioned, it's just a great thrill for them, you know, and particularly in the case of, you know, with the Leonard family and others who've been involved. I know it's a great legacy that they want to see continue on, and there's one gentleman who's sort of been the glue of it the last almost 50 years now. Wendell Condon here has meant so much to junior golf and really is the a tournament director, but he's really why it's still in place and it's still a free event and it continues to grow and move forward.
You've been involved in this tournament for many, many years. It seems like kids are, you know, picking up the club at a younger age, but as you've covered the game of golf and followed it very closely, the kids seem to be getting better and better. I mean, it's incredible. The scores are lower and lower.
It's amazing. I think that's the thing that is, it's really exciting for us, you know, being involved with something like this, but also the first tee in general, and just watching kids. You know, that golf is not probably as hard as we make it as adults. You know, I think kids learning some of the basics of the game early, they're also, you know, they're so much more focused, and the equipment and the instruction that's available to them continues to improve, and, you know, and it's much, much, it continues to be much, much more accessible. But you're right, Alyssa, it's shocking to me how good these kids are, you know, and how much they enjoy it. And you know, I think that anyone who ever says that they doubt sort of the future of our youth in America needs to come to one of these type of golf tournaments or watch kids who are involved in golf, because, you know, it's truly a blessing. And I think, you know, as golf has grown and opportunities have become more and more available, you've seen more and more minority kids get involved in it, you know, like you mentioned, kind of reaching across all demographics, and in addition to more female participants. I mean, I think that's something that, you know, golf, the benefits of golf and what can be offered in golf is, you know, it's something for everybody. But, yeah, I always laugh at these tournaments when I'm starting or working as a rules official, how many adults come up to me and say, can you believe how good these kids are? And I step in and say, no, I can't. But they really have fun at it, and they're great competitors, and it's really great to see.
You're listening to the voice of Kevin Long. He is the executive director of the First Tee right here in Fort Worth. And before we get too far into our radio interview, I want to take time to direct the listeners to your website. And also, Kevin, you know, our radio program airs in many different markets. This is a nationwide organization.
Absolutely. You know, our website here locally is www.thefirstteeftworth.org. But we are one of, here in Fort Worth, 207 chapters all across the country, and actually have 4 international locations. So wherever you are listening to this this story and this interview, chances are you have a First Tee chapter right around in your neck of the woods. And the National First Tee chapter has a website, or the National chapter has a website, just thefirsttee.org. If you Google that, it'll guide you to a facility and a location near you. And what's really interesting about this is it's become such a large movement, and you know, over 4 million kids now have been introduced to the game of golf, and more importantly, a very structured, organized, sequential life skills curriculum that's infused into the instructional program through the First Tee. So we're excited about it, and we hope your listeners out there will look to get involved in some way, either through their children or as a volunteer or supporter.
We're going to talk about some of the fundamentals of the First Tee, but I am curious, we have so many parents that do tune into our program every weekend. What advice do you give to the parents out there that perhaps has a young golfer? I mean, here you had just talked about the equipment, the instruction, how much and how far that has improved over the years, but how do you balance that as a parent? I mean, these kids are competitive out there. They weren't just out there to, you know, form friendships, and yes, they were having a good time yakking it up and stuff like that, but the bottom line was they wanted to go out there and win, right?
Well, I think that's a key thing to remember, and I think, you know, obviously this is, you're playing right to what we try to deal with parents. In our case, it's much, just as much an educational process with parents as with kids, but my advice is really very simple, and it comes right down to it, is number one is, you know, what we try to do is get the kids to enjoy and love and have fun playing the game, you know, and that can include competition, or it can include just playing casually, but you know, I think sometimes people get ahead of themselves. You know, the first thing is the kids have to enjoy the experience and you know, make it fun. And I think sometimes, you know, when a young phenom shows promise, sometimes the parents may get a little too wrapped around the idea that, oh, this you know, this is their passion, this is their calling. And I think, you know, let them have the time to enjoy and develop a love and a feel for the game on their own. I think the other thing that we try to emphasize in the First Tee is that it's very important for kids to understand and develop a feel for the game. I mean, you can, so many sports these days and so many activities, the kids are told, well, do A, B, and C, and you'll be successful. But if they have to do D, E, and F, they don't know what to do. And I think it's important to allow the kids to grow, allow them to make some mistakes, allow them to learn, you know, what the game is all about, because they'll grow it to love it for a lifetime. And I think, you know, for those families where the kids are interested in competing, I feel like it's got to be that child's choice, you know, and support them and be positive and find the things that they're doing right before you start looking at the negatives. Because believe me, children will, they're going to look at the negatives first. So I really try to encourage parents to find the positive things their children are doing and enjoy it. I mean, it's, you know, we only get a chance to go around with our kids once. And, you know, you don't want to have your feelings of, well, you know, I wish they were doing better or this or that interfere. So I think that's true for all of youth sports, but I think it's particularly true of golf. And, you know, and let the kids experience it for themselves. And it's a great, I'll tell you what, though, it is a great family game. There's nothing better than spend a few hours with family members out playing around a golf. You can't beat it.
You are absolutely spot on. I was going to say, speaking of positives, because that's the one thing with having our son playing the game of golf, it is so fantastic to see the dads, even the moms out there serving as a caddy. And you just think about what these kids are at such an impressionable age. They're never going to forget this, whether, you know, they go on to play college or if they don't play at all. I mean, these are just very special memories between a child and their mother or a child and their father.
Well, and that's something I think, you know, I heard a story a long time ago that I'm going to change it to a golf context, maybe, but it was actually a fishing story. But the father wrote, you know, went out and played golf with my son today, and, you know, he didn't hit the ball very far, and you know, he didn't score very well, and I didn't get to work on my game, and didn't really accomplish much. And the same son wrote in his diary, or his, you know, journal, or whatever you may want to call it, went out and played golf with my dad today. It was absolutely the most fun and the best day of my life. So, you know, it's a different perspective. And I think that's what you need. Far be it for me to give advice to parents, but I think that, you know, it is something that you can enjoy as a family. And the kids, you know, it's funny. The number one thing that keeps kids coming back to a youth-serving activity is the relationships they have with the adults. And that includes the parents. And it's not you having fun and the relationships with the peers are down the list a little bit. And actually, what's odd is the activity itself almost doesn't matter. So, you know, I would encourage parents, you know, get involved with your kids. If you don't play the game, you know, we certainly have opportunities. There's some great PGA professionals in our area, and I'm sure in every community, that offer opportunities for families to learn. You know, we do a lot of things with the families, family nights, little open play events, you know, with the families, clinics, adult junior camps, to try to, you know, get the families involved and understand that, hey, this is great time that the kids, as much as the parents, will appreciate later on in life.
Kevin Long is with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. He is the executive director of the First Tee, and one of the things that makes the First Tee so incredibly special is its group of volunteers, and we saw them out in droves all week long helping out in the tournament. Can you kind of tip your hat to them, Kevin?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, I think the thing that I always say about our volunteers, we have such a great, committed group of people that come from all different ways to help out in any way they can. And you know, last year here in Fort Worth, we worked with over 10,000 children, and we have 3 employees, so you do the math. You know, we very much are reliant on and dependent on volunteers and just could not do what we would do without them, whether it's helping to administer a tournament like you saw this week or helping out with classes or working in the office or fundraising or, you know, networking, marketing, a variety of ways to get involved. You know, you don't have to be a golfer, and we probably have, you know, close to 1,000 active volunteers, and that number is a really important one to us because, you know, we need people to be involved. We need folks to get involved with what we're doing, and they are amazing. I can't thank them enough, and you know, it would be impossible for us to exist and to grow and to move the program forward without them.
Let's hear some more about the First Tee. Of course, it does teach the life skills. You had talked about that earlier, the 9 core values, give some true fundamentals, great things that will carry over beyond the game of golf.
Well, absolutely. You know, it is so much more than the game of golf. And we organize the program into stages. We call it the player, par, birdie, eagle, and ace levels. But at each step of the way, as kids mature through the process, they learn a different set of golf skills or, you know, improve their golf skills. But more importantly, they actually receive a very structured life skills curriculum as part of the golf instruction. It's very seamlessly integrated into the golf. It's very activity-based. So it's not sitting there in a classroom learning about life skills. It's actually learning how to utilize certain skills on the golf course. And they have to progress to the next level. They have to show us a progression not only on the golf skills side, but also the ability to execute what we call the core lessons, the life skills lessons, and be able to demonstrate our 9 core values and understand the rules and etiquette. And it really is a neat thing to see because it's very age-appropriate as the kids mature through the program. And by the time they're done, what we're trying to do is create not only lifelong lovers of the game of golf, but excellent citizens who walk into adulthood with a wonderful set of skills that will help them handle just about any situation. So that really is the thing that's different about the first tee. It is what makes us, I think, different than a junior golf organization in that the emphasis is on developing kids for life.
And I was on your website last night checking out some of the things from the first tee, and how about that? Mike Tirico doing the voiceover for your new video online, and I thought that was absolutely outstanding. Share a little bit about that.
Well, we are very blessed to have the support nationally with the 207 chapters, with all the major golf governing bodies, certainly, ESPN, ABC Sports, the Golf Channel, RBS, PricewaterhouseCoopers, on and on and on, former President Bush. So that is one thing that we're excited about. We get some really neat things happen for us like that and give us some great brand recognition. But what's interesting about all those, Alyssa, is there's so many what we call participant opportunities for the older kids as they mature through the program. There's opportunities to go out to Pebble Beach and play in a Champions Tour event, alongside Champions Tour players. One of our girls just got back from the National Life Skills Academy, which was a week-long, 100 kids from first tee chapters all around the country are trained in leadership skills, our life skills program, and golf and personal improvement. And last summer, I was fortunate enough to travel with four of our kids to St. Andrews, Scotland, as guests of the New Links Foundation over in St. Andrews.
Wow.
It goes on and on. I mean, it's amazing what opportunities are out there and available to the kids, all the way, starting with the caddy day experiences that you've seen here at Colonial, where our kids get to caddy for one hole for a pro in the pro-am, all the way up to possibly playing Pebble Beach. And all those are free. Those are opportunities that are funded and offered through various programs of the first tee nationally. And it provides some incentive, for kids to continue on in the program. And so it helps us develop chapter leadership among our youth, which is really important to us. So it's a really fantastic experience for kids. And whether kids are casual golfers or whether they're very serious competitive golfers and want to play at the very highest levels, we kind of cover the gamut.
I thought what was remarkable when I was watching that video was just listening to these young kids, just how poised they were, sharing their testimony, if you will, of the first tee and how it's really impacted their life and helped them academically and to be able to achieve. I think there was one student on there that had been a D student, and playing the game of golf helped him focus academically, and now is an A student.
Well, absolutely. I think, we go to our network meetings and some of our opportunities where we hear these children speak. I mean, they will absolutely blow you away, And again, it kind of goes back to that thing I said earlier about if you're ever in doubt as to the future of our country, you need to hear some of these people talk and think. I mean, I've heard some amazing things. In the network meetings, a lot of adults talk and say some things and some wonderful things, but one of those children get up who have been through the program and are able to articulate their feelings in such a professional, organized manner. But
yes,
You're absolutely right. I mean, we have kids that 75% of the parents, for instance, that are involved in the program report an increased ability for children to succeed in school because of their involvement in the first tee program. 84%, I believe, of the kids say that the first tee program has helped them academically. And that's where the life skills curriculum and the 9 core values really come into play. The idea is, you're building a set of skills that can be used in any context. We just happen to introduce it initially to them in a golf context, but then we bridge it to their life. So, yeah, it can be a life-changing experience, or it can be a reinforcing experience for families that, have those values in place. It can also be a situation where, kids, it's so easy for them to go down the wrong path. And golf is one vehicle that you really can change your life to the positive if you learn some of the basic elements of the game and what's associated with it. So it's an outstanding opportunity, and one that I'm, I know certainly for me personally, it made a huge difference in my life, and I know it's great to see that do this live and so many children throughout the country as well.
We were talking about the First Tee right here in Fort Worth, but of course it is nationwide. Also, I think I said, Kevin, it is international as well. Kevin Long is joining us. He is the executive director. And I got to ask you, what about scholarships? Do they kind of help out as far as being a part of the First Tee and making those contacts?
Well, certainly. You know, I mean, just to, on a very basic level, we have a program called the First Tee Scholars Program. I think now there's 35 colleges and universities across the country that if you are a named First Tee Scholar, you're provided a full tuition scholarship and in some cases a full academic and room and board scholarship at institution. There's other named opportunities. But in terms of just, there's certainly an improvement in academic scholarship, but also so many of our kids go on to golf scholarships. One of the things that is interesting is especially kids in minority populations or females, that there are really tremendous opportunities for them to go on and experience a higher education and do that through participating in the game of golf. So we're very fortunate. A couple of our kids here in our chapter, even though we're a very young chapter, have already gone on to scholarship opportunities, and we have several others that in the next few years that we anticipate that with as well. So it's not only just golf scholarship opportunities, but there's many, many opportunities by participating in the First Tee here locally and nationally that may lead to connections, contacts, or an opportunity that maybe children wouldn't have had access to otherwise. And we're very proud of that.
And I know, Kevin, you were sharing with me at the golf tournament earlier this week, you're very excited about the future of the First Tee. I think you said something about the Ben Hogan Center. What's going on there?
Well, we are very excited. It looks like we're going to break ground on our facility at Rockwood Golf Course, where we already have our practice facility in place on the Ben Hogan Learning Center. A couple of years ago, actually, since we last talked, the Ben Hogan Foundation came forward with $500,000 naming gift pledge, and we've had so many other people in our community get involved, major foundations, corporations, and so forth, to help us raise $1.5 million to build this center, which is going to be a 6,000-square-foot facility, which includes classrooms, technology, library, club repair room, hitting bay, a player's lounge area, and a really cool thing. It's going to have a museum in the atrium area that celebrates not only the legacy of Mr. Hogan, but also the history of golf in Fort Worth. And, of course, the city championship that you were involved with this week will be a big centerpiece of that history. But the history of golf here in Fort Worth is so rich, and, of course, Mr. Hogan's legacy and Byron Nelson, Sandra Palmer's legacy. And it's the only public place in Fort Worth that will have such a display, and I think it's an important piece. So we're excited. The things that we can do with that building, providing mentoring services, college counseling, tutoring, even the really neat thing of showing kids how to make and repair their own golf clubs or have the latest in swing analysis technology available to them. It's exciting. So we're hoping to break ground in November. We have Damon Carter Foundation has come through with a $250,000 challenge grant, a matching grant opportunity that we're getting ready to launch right now. And that should provide us with the final additional funding we need through raising that money to get the building built. And it looks very promising. By this time next year, I'm hopefully sitting there talking to you from this building.
Kevin Long has been with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. He is doing just an outstanding job. He's the executive director of the First Tee right here in Fort Worth. I'm on your website right now. Of course, I also noticed there's a place where you can click on and make donations and contributions too, right, Kev?
Of course. We can't do this without resources. We need volunteers, of course. We need in-kind donations of equipment, but we do need funding because one of the very fundamental components of the First Tee is that we do not turn any child away for financial reasons, and we make sure they have all the tools they need to get involved in our program and the game of golf, and so we always need financial support, and even the fees that we charge are very, very low cost and obviously don't nearly cover our expenses, and so we always would love the financial support. But maybe even more important is what you mentioned before, just getting involved. All of our websites and our national site and our local sites show you ways to get involved in local chapter. And I would encourage everyone out there, if you love golf or you just love working with kids, you would think this is a very special program in your community. And I encourage you to get involved in some way.
What is the age group, the youngest age to on up? How far can you be a part of this?
Well, we work with children ages 5 to 18, so we start them in our little junior. Some of the chapters actually start earlier than that, Alyssa, and But one of the things that's interesting is we continue to track the kids, even when they are out of school, you know, past the age of 18 and into college or whatever they're doing. And what's really remarkable is how many of them, we have right now 7 volunteers, I know that number because I just looked it up the other day, who are past students of our program who are either in college or now even out of college and have come back to volunteer to work with the kids because it's a special experience for them. So it is a unique organization, and it's a lot of fun to get involved with.
It's a unique organization, a very special organization, and we've been highlighting and zeroing in on the First Tee and visiting with Kevin Long, their executive director. One more time, Kevin, tell where all the listeners can go and find out more information at your website.
Our website is www.thefirsttee.org, and the national site is www.thefirsttee.org. And I appreciate the opportunity to visit with you today, Alyssa. It's always good to catch up, and we appreciate the coverage you give us and the support you provide.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Kevin. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Stay close.